Talks, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senator Chris Van Hollen is just back from El Salvador after meeting with Kilmar Obrego Garcia, who was mistakenly deported there.
It's good to be home. Now we need to end the illegal abduction of Kilmar Obrego Garcia and bring him home, too.
President Trump said today people are dying as the two sides in the Russia-Ukraine war play games. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He said no one's playing him, that he's trying to help. But he reiterated this earlier message by the Secretary of State that they do want to see some movement very soon.
The suspected shooter at Florida State University remains in a hospital, but when the alleged gunman is well enough,
he'll be taken to a local detention facility where he will face the charges up to and including first-degree murder.
Authorities say they found no connection between the suspect and the victims. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you live in or own a business in Stevens Point, the police department is asking that you be on alert for a scam that fraudulently claims to be from city departments. Fake invoices that seem to be coming from departments such as the Planning and Zoning Commission ask that you send payment by wire transfer. The invoices request payment for services such as inspections and application reviews. The city of Stevens Point will never ask for payment by wire transfer. All official city correspondence will come from an email that ends in @stevenspoint.com or other verified government domain. Also, an official phone number will always be included in any communication. The Stevens Point Police Department is calling this a more sophisticated scam that appears credible. If you receive any questionable correspondence claiming to be from the city, feel free to contact City Hall directly to verify the request. Report any suspicious invoices or communications directly to the police to help protect yourself and the community. Easter is this Sunday. If you're coloring and hiding Easter eggs, you may feel like you have to take out a loan. Joanne Krulatz has more on egg prices and Easter celebrations.
The internet has offered up a host of alternatives as egg prices continue to be stubbornly high. Influencers are dyeing everything from marshmallows to potatoes. There has been a lot of interest from price-conscious parents as U.S. egg prices increased again last month to reach a new record high of $6.23 per dozen. Relief could be coming. There is evidence that prices are falling and grocery stores may start offering discounts to get shoppers in the door. But even with that, egg prices are higher than ever. That has the idea of coloring potatoes or rocks, which first made the rounds after a 2023 price spike, making a resurgence.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Is it game time? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Pacers in the playoffs tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard able to practice after dealing with deep vein thrombosis the past month. The story on ESPN.
I'm told he is still out game one. He's going to use the next several days to ramp up. But this is really a remarkable recovery for Damian Lillard, a guy a lot of people thought maybe would not even have came back.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It's not like he's been injured and working out. You know, he's been injured without working out. That's hard.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the A's. In Green Bay, the NFL draft is next week. Will Jair Alexander be back with the pack? Jordan Love.
That's a great question. Talk to Ja, see what the deal is. But, Ja, he's got his own world going on. I'm going to let him handle his business and see what's going on. But that's my guy right there. He's definitely a player we need back. Just the play style he plays with and who he is on the field. I mean, that's a guy we need.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently at 64 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwalbe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Laura Bird is back. The author and tireless bookstore promoter helps mark Independent Bookstore Day with ways you can support a local business.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, April 18th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In 4:30, we're going to wrap up the week with the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Stephanie Hartman is going to be joining us. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have with us in on the phone lines, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good. Thanks for asking. And good to hear. Know how busy you have been. It has been go time for you and your teammates over there. You guys have been hard at work. A lot of things going on. I'm going to try to cover as much of this as we can. I wanted to start, if you don't mind, with the potato bill. And I don't know how often I'll be saying the potato bill or bill like that. But the name stands out and the purpose of it certainly does.
Yeah, so this goes back to my very first session. In fact, this was one of the first bills I had introduced, and now we're back again to modify that bill. So since 1913, Wisconsin has had a seed certification program here in the state, and potatoes are a highly valuable crop here in the state of Wisconsin, valued at over $300 million per year. And we are the third largest producing potato crop in the entire country, just behind Idaho and Washington. And it's important that we have certified seed to help make sure that we have the best crop that we possibly can, that limits the risk of things like potato blight and other types of diseases that the potato is very susceptible to. And what happened was up in northern Wisconsin, where a lot of our certified seeds are grown, there were a couple of bad actors who had planted crops, and basically the Department of Agriculture came in and said, those aren't certified seed. You have to destroy that crop. But these individuals, they took a look at the penalties, which currently they are maxed at $150 and then $150 per acre of non-certified planted potatoes. And basically they just looked at the department and said, well, pound sand, we'll just pay the fine, which really puts the entire crop at risk. And so we were approached by the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association shortly after this incident occurred, along with the Department of Agriculture. And they said, you know what, we need more teeth to enforce this law. And so I authored legislation with Representative Krug, and I'm hopeful that next week it's going to pass out of both houses. And we'll just have another tool that our department can use to ensure that our crop remains safe. And we're doing what we can to punish any bad actors that occurred up in northern Wisconsin.
When it comes to that, certainly appreciate, you know, the attention to this and the work on it. Another part of this bill that I don't know that necessarily it was the point of it, certainly, but another advantage of it or a side effect of it is, I think, bringing attention to where you started with this and reminding people of how important potatoes are in this state. Idaho takes so much of the attention of this one, but they're big in this state as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why you've got so many of our potato growers. Frito-Lays is a huge component of this. I mean, many of our big growers, Heartland Farms in particular, they contract with Lay's for, making sure they have stable and a valuable crop for things like potato chips. And then obviously all the other markets that our growers go into, whether it's directly to the store. And so, you know, this is a huge business here in the state of Wisconsin, and especially right here in the Central Sands area, which is the key area for potato growers in the state. And so making sure that this crop remains valuable and making sure that we are doing what we can to protect it is critically important for our food security and our supply chain here in the state, because the ancillary industries that go around this also have a huge impact. You're talking about processors like McCain's, Del Monte, all the ag implement dealers around here. So, I mean, this is a big deal. And so what's great is that it passed out of my committee, the Senate Ag and Revenue Committee, with unanimous support, and same with over in the Assembly. So I think we're really well positioned to have a good bipartisan bill that once it hits the governor's desk, he'll sign it into law.
And I like most people out there and yourself, certainly paying attention to local and in Wisconsin and national politics. And I think, especially with the focus being on Wisconsin here, I skate past this way too often. You mentioned this bill being bipartisan, and I two notes on that. One, that we say that so often around here on this show that we've kind of normalized it a little bit, which is great. It's a good thing. But I do want to highlight it because it's so valuable at any point in history, let alone now in this day and age. But also the fact that it's become that common here in Wisconsin, that we are not that it's not that uncommon to hear a bipartisan bills. I just always want to note that, or want to get better about noting that when we can. For myself, you do a good job of it, sir, but I want to note it.
Well, in prime example, like last night, I was down in Milwaukee to be on a panel with one of my Democrat colleagues from Milwaukee, Senator Dora Drake, who is just phenomenal to work with. And it was a panel discussion about cryptocurrency. And she's working on legislation that is going to be pretty innovative and will help sort of foster this environment for more crypto growth and opportunities on that front. And I'm working on legislation that kind of focuses on the consumer protection side of things. And again, very similar to, you know, trying to weed out bad actors. I know we've had a number of incidents where individuals have been defrauded through these crypto kiosks that are popping up. And I know Sheriff Becker and Sheriff Lucas, they really were the ones that put this on my radar. And so, you know, it just goes to show that, yes, we will have our disagreements at times, but by and large, at least in Madison, we have a much different atmosphere compared to the climate out in Washington, D.C., where, you know, we're willing to roll up our sleeves and put our heads together and put forward good ideas that, regardless of what party came up with it, you know, if it's good for the state, you know what, let's get the job done and work together. But, you know, understanding, too, that there are going to be times where that's not necessarily going to be the case, and we'll just have to cordially agree to disagree and hash out our differences and arguments both in committee as well as on the floor. And I think that's a healthy and robust debate that I think our counterparts out in Washington, D.C. could take note from.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that Representative Krug and I have touched on a number of times, and recently especially, the idea of this going forward and how important that is and how valuable we feel it we take it here in this state. And also keeping in mind, while there are some things that certainly do affect us on a national level, every state, not just us, but every state also is doing their own thing. And it's important to kind of not just read headlines, but read articles, get good reporting and everything when it comes to this stuff, because sometimes that headline may be misleading or make you think that it's happening in your state when it isn't. So it's important to talk to your representatives and to good trust reputable sources. We appreciate you doing that. Now, we're talking about bipartisanism, so I want to take the lead into, I did want to touch on one other thing. Again, with so many bills passed and so many things, and you would think in a 24/7 news cycle this wouldn't happen, but there's a lot of bills and a lot of things that I think get lost in the shuffle. And you were the lead co-author of a bipartisan legislation that will improve the quality of life for those suffering with Alzheimer's disease and lower their health care costs. I will admit to the audience, this one has affected my family quite a bit. I lost my Nana to Alzheimer's, and I just like 2 weeks ago lost my great aunt Nay to Alzheimer's after fighting it for a very long time. And I don't think I'm alone on that one. 6 degrees of separation, you don't even have that when it comes to Alzheimer's or dementia nowadays. It's important, and I think that's part of the reason why there was bipartisan legislation on this one. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, this is another great example of, you know, both sides coming together to do what's best for families that are going through really difficult times. And Alzheimer's is one of these diseases that, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking because you're watching individuals that you love wither away who don't remember who they are. And it's very difficult. It's an emotional strain both on the individuals who are personally going through it, but as well as the family members. And so recently, legislation was introduced that I'm proud to be a co-sponsor of that would provide assistance for caregivers who are helping individuals who are going through dementia as well as Alzheimer's. And because there is a huge strain, both emotionally as well as financially. And this is one of these, not a huge bill as far as a fiscal component to it, but it's a step in the right direction. And doing what we can to acknowledge those who are taking time often away from work, away from their own families to take care of loved ones who are on a cognitive decline, which is, again, it's truly heartbreaking to watch and go through that. But if we can get this done, I think it sends a really strong message that, look, we want to help and assist those who are taking care of those who are the most vulnerable among us and who are going through just something that we hope never happens to anyone in our families. But as you referenced with your own personal story, I think we all know someone both directly and indirectly who has been impacted by this terrible and awful disease. And we just want to put ourselves in a position to help those who are helping those folks out. And I'm hopeful this is another one that when it gets through committee, should sail through both houses. And again, hoping to get the governor's signature when the time comes that when it hits his desk.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about On the Job series in a moment, but you've been on the road. The Joint Finance Committee has got a road show going on right now. Can we tell our audience about that?
Yeah, so the Joint Finance Committee, which I'm a member of this session, I have the privilege to serve as the co-vice chair. And so we're typically every 2 years we go around the state. And so far we've gone to Kaukauna as well as West Allis. Those were wildly successful, although I will say they are marathon days because usually get a few hundred people. I think in West Allis we had just shy of about 350 people that showed up. And we sit there and listen to individuals give their input on the state budget. So basically people have 2 minutes to come up, say their piece, what they like, what they don't like, what they would like us to focus and prioritize on. And we still have two more to go. On Monday, April 28th, we are going to be up in Hayward at the Hayward High School from 10 a.m. until about 6 p.m. And then the next day, we're going to be a little bit closer to home. We're going to be up in Wausau at the Technical College from 10 until 6. And so this is really a tremendous opportunity for folks to come and address the entire Joint Finance Committee, as well as area legislators who would like to attend and participate as well. And so if people are able to make it, one thing I would suggest, get there early because, oftentimes people start showing up at 7 a.m. and they may not get their slip pulled until 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. to come up and testify before the Finance Committee. And if you can't make it to either of these last two, feel free to reach out to my office to submit your testimony. We can incorporate that into the record. And I know myself, as well as many other area legislators, have listening sessions within their respective districts. And so really, this is the prime time to be in contact with lawmakers as it relates to the state budget process, because now that once we wrap that up, it's really going to be crunch time because our fiscal year ends June 30th. Statutorily, we have to have a budget done. Although the good news is, unlike our counterparts out at the federal level, if we don't have a budget signed, sealed, and delivered by June 30th, our government doesn't shut down. We just continue to operate under the current state budget that we operate under right now. Yeah. But we want to make sure that we are taking input and feedback from folks because that gives us a good idea of, you know, sort of what's on people's minds and what's, the top priorities of what we need to fund. And so really encourage folks to, if you're able to take the time, make the trip up to Hayward or Wausau. And again, if you can't make it, reach out to my office, and we'll be happy to take your suggestions and pass that on to our colleagues on the Finance Committee.
Encourage people to attend these if you can. Bring your questions. It's amazing, and we need more of this, of our representatives doing these kind of town hall listening sessions and going about and to reaching not just meeting people halfway, but going to their area, to their zip code, to hear from you. Encourage people to be adults when talking to other adults, keep yourself in check, of course, and bring those questions because they want them. They're looking for them. I'm curious, sir, in the time that you've done this, are there any questions that have been asked more than once? Are there current, common themes that you're hearing from people or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. So when I'm at these sessions, I normally have a legal pad in front of me, and I literally keep a tally marker going of all the different issue areas of what people are talking about. And there are some common themes that have popped up at the two that we've done already in Kaukauna, as well as West Allis. And I think number one is obviously K-12 education. That is the largest portion of our state budget that we fund every 2 years. And then also, projects within the UW system. We've heard from a number of the campuses throughout the state on various building projects that they want to see enumerated. Hear a lot about infrastructure, making sure that our roads, primarily, we heard this a lot in Kaukauna, how valuable the Agricultural Road Improvement Program has been. This was a new program that was created in the last budget to help our farm to market roads with some grants to local communities to beef up their infrastructure where, the roads are taking a heavy toll due to the heavy ag usage. And then we've heard, very specific regional issues. Like, for instance, when we were in Kaukauna, we had a number of individuals from the village of Manawa who came and testified before the committee. They had a dam burst last summer, and it's a $13 million replacement. And if you can probably imagine, a small village like Manawa does not have $13 million sitting in the bank. So they're looking for some state support. So what's unique about this is, yes, you get to hear a lot of common denominators all across the state on various issues. But then periodically you'll get these very hyper-local issues and projects that pop up that may not have been on anyone's radar before. And so it's always interesting, and it's like I said, it makes for a long day. You got to have plenty of coffee and gas in the tank to sit through it all, but this is part of the process, and we want to encourage as much public feedback as possible.
Encourage people to sign up for the newsletter the senator has. It's a great way to keep up to date on the things we've been talking about, along with finding the dates for those roadshow events. I wanted to wrap up with you, sir, in two spots. One, just a shout out to you about the reading to the Noble Community Clinic in Stevens Point, reading books to the young kids there as part of the Reach Out and Read program. Looked like you had a lot of fun. And a shout out to the Reach Out and Read program. We're a big fan of what they do over there. And you were, did you want to touch on that at all? I don't want to skate past that.
Yeah, no, this is a great program. This is actually really what I would consider a foundational piece for the development of our children, primarily birth to three, where the Reach Out and Read program works with various physicians and clinics around the state to get hands in the books of kids and encourage parents to read to their young children, because really those first 3 years are the most formative as it relates to a child's brain development. And anything that we can do to get more books in hands and encourage kids to read early on is a valuable tool that's going to set them up for future success. And, I've been working and sitting down to Reach Out and Read and their program coordinators to see what can be done to expand this program here in the state, get more clinics and physicians to sign up with this program. And so, yeah, I got the chance to read to some young kiddos in the area and then take a tour of Noble's clinic, which their existing clinic has a small footprint, but by mid-July, they're going to have a brand new facility just up the road in downtown Stevens Point that I can't wait to see, because these community clinics are a valuable tool, especially for those individuals who might not have the means to be on private insurance. And these clinics, like Noble, they help fill that gap.
And keep in mind, our United Way of South Windham's Counties also has their great book giveaway going on right now, where they're collecting gently used books and reading mentorship that's coming up this summer. All kinds of great things that a lot of our great nonprofits are doing to help our kids with literacy in this area. I encourage everybody to read up more about those. And as we're wrapping up, sir, I wanted to talk with you about your On the Job series. You were recently at Wabash in New Lisbon.
Yeah, Wabash and a great company. This was actually a doubleheader. So last month I was in New Lisbon. I worked at Lear Manufacturing. And then just on Monday was in New Lisbon for Wabash. And this is, again, just like Lear was, another leading manufacturer right here in our area in Juneau County. And what's so unique about them, they are a innovator and a national leader in manufacturing for semi-trailers. And in particular, our liquid semi-containers. And so, you know, again, one of the reasons why I do this is to highlight the great employers, but show what opportunities are out there. And prime example here is, you know, they actually do a great job with training employees. They created a training center, and literally anyone can walk off the street and they will train you to be a welder, a grinder. And regardless of your experience, they will pay while you're being trained and build up your skill level. I will say this, I am not a good welder. I was much more proficient at grinding. They had me inside a couple of the tanks grinding down the welds that need to be food grade. So, I mean, it's a very technical job. Everything is built by hand there, which is absolutely incredible when you think about it. You're seeing these 80-foot trailers, and every component of that is done by hand. I mean, it's just absolutely impressive. They've seen tremendous growth, and they've got about 80% of the market share. So if you're going down the highway and you see a liquid container or semi-trailer, chances are it was made right here in central Wisconsin.
It's a great opportunity to bring attention to something we don't, an industry we don't get to very often. And some really good workers. I've had some friends in that industry before. Appreciate that. And glad you had a good time with it. And looking forward to more of these On the Job series. And certainly looking forward to talking with you again next month. We'll have plenty to talk about, I'm sure. Before we let you go, though, sir, I want to again remind everybody to sign up for the newsletter. And, of course, reach out to Senator Tessin if you have questions. How can they do that, sir?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of my office number is 608-266-3123. You can always shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media, sign up for my newsletter, and if you ever need to get in touch or meet with me in person, as always, I'm an old school, like an old school doctor, I'm not afraid to make a house call. So get in touch. This is a busy season for us down in Madison, but always willing to sit down and meet with constituents and hear what's on your mind. And if you got issues or concerns, never hesitate to give me a call.
Always appreciate the time and conversation, sir. We'll talk again next month. You take care.
You too, James.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new ruling today from the Wisconsin Supreme Court dealing with the unique powers given to our governors
and their decision should support school funding for hundreds of years. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
When he was signing the state budget, Governor Tony Evers used his veto powers to lock in school funding for the next 400 years. And now the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules that was legal. Wisconsin is the only state where the governor has line item veto powers, meaning a governor can just cross out words or punctuation or numbers or parts of a bill and change its meaning. The court was split along party lines. Soon-to-be Chief Justice Jill Karofsky wrote that this move was within the bounds of the Wisconsin Constitution. Meanwhile, Justice Brian Hagedorn said the state constitution does not allow for this power. Historically, it's been used by both Republicans and Democrats. The governor's veto means that school funding will increase $325 per pupil per year until 2425.
The Trump administration's 2026 budget passback plan that's currently under consideration eliminates NOAA's Oceanic and Atmospheric Research Office and its 10 research laboratories and 16 affiliate cooperative institutes. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
If the plan is enacted, it would close all of NOAA's weather, climate, and ocean laboratories and cooperative institutes. And without that research, the National Weather Service weather models and products will stagnate. Observational data collection will be reduced, public outreach will decrease, and undergraduate and graduate student support will drop. The scientific backbone and workforce needed to keep weather forecasts, alerts, and warnings accurate and effective will be drastically reduced. This could lead to unknown and disastrous consequences for public safety and economic health.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently at 62 degrees.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, April 18th, 2025. Have your host, James, with you. And right now, we're joined by our great friend, Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Steph, good to see you. How you been?
Good to see you too, James. I'm great. How about you?
Doing well, and really do appreciate the time and certainly everything you and your staff put into this community, all the culture that you bring and all the different events and stuff that bring into this area. We have a lot of fun talking about and certainly attending. And I want to kick off right there with you with a new exhibit that you're bringing into the area.
Yes, we had our opening last night and it was very successful. We had over 75 people. And the exhibit is called Unraveling, so it's a creative fiber arts exhibit. We partnered with the Heart of Wisconsin Rug Hooking Guild, and they have the majority of the pieces in the exhibit, and it's really kind of a fascinating art. I didn't know a lot about it, and their pieces, you know, can be as small as, say, 6-inch round up to... I mean, they cover an entire wall.
Yeah.
So it's really fascinating to see how they can bring the colors together. The exhibit turned out beautifully. Mm. Kudos to our installation committee. They did a great job setting it up. And we have 23 artists total in the exhibit. So it's definitely something to see. Stop by and visit us and take a look.
It's such a unique form of art.
It is.
It's also one of those ones, and I hear this from artists, it can be inspiring.
Yes.
Excuse me. It's one of these arts that can get you, kind of light a fire under you and get you wanted to do art itself.
Yes. And they actually did a demonstration last night and everyone was kind of picking on me a little bit. And they're like, hey, I think you could do this. You know, you could set up the pattern and you can, you know, bring the hook through and pull the pieces through. And I know it takes a long time to perfect it. And I can tell you these pieces are perfected. So I'm sure my piece would not be in the exhibit, but it is something that I looked at and thought, now there is something that, you know, like anyone could try.
Yes. And that's to me, I think one of the cool things about this and a lot of the art that you'll see at the Cultural Center, the idea of seeing it, being inspired, enjoying the piece, and then it kind of like being, well, you know, maybe I want to try that or something. And whether it's something that is presented in an exhibit or not, all art is good.
Yep,
and all art is good to do.
Exactly. And that's why we offer the array of classes that we offer for, you know, beginning artists all the way through very accomplished artists. But just to get people to try. And it's amazing how people, they kind of get addicted a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing some mosaic classes and a lot of those students who are headed to Hobby Lobby, they're going to buy their own glass, they're going to do their own projects. And it is inspiring to watch that. And it gives people a nice outlet. You know, we're in pretty trying times socially, and it's a good way to just kind of relax.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up. It's one of the things that I find the best about art is the release it is. Again, this is why I say there is no good or bad art. It's all great.
Exactly.
It's because of what it does for the artist and what it can do for people. It's a really win-win kind of thing. There's all kinds of different art there as well with this exhibit. There's 2D and 3D fiber art, and I wanted to mention that. This is also free admission. It's open to the public.
It is.
The exhibit is going to be going on for a while, 5:30 to 7:30, it looks like.
So the opening was 5:30 to 7:30.
Sorry, that was the opening. Yes, yes.
No problem. But we are open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So you can come anytime during those hours. We also have had a couple tour groups that requested to come through. So we do make appointments outside of business hours. And, you know, we're so busy. We have staff there a lot more than just our business hours. So if you want to come and see the exhibit or you have friends coming from out of town that want to see the exhibit, let us know. We can work with you and, you know, set up an appointment. You can come on in and visit.
We're going to give you the information on how you can reach the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center before we wrap up today. I did want to mention one other thing about this exhibit, and I don't think we get to touch on this very often, that people can purchase exhibit items that they see and be able to pick them up later in July. I think that is a really unique ability right there. Checking this stuff out is really cool. The idea that you like a piece that much, which you're going to find pieces you like that much, being able to bring it into your home.
Yes.
Everybody likes having nice art or nice things on their wall, but not everybody can have such unique original items like we do in this area thanks to events like this.
Absolutely. And because it's the Rug Hooking Guild, there are quite a few pieces not for sale. I think they get a little attached to their work, which I can't blame them.
No, you put
that many hours in. Yeah. But there are pieces for sale, and then we have a gift shop full of art that people can purchase. The one piece that has already sold is our signature piece for this exhibit, and it's a really awesome tree that is made from optic cables.
Ooh.
And it's just, it was, it's awesome. And it was actually made from cables from a chairlift, if you can imagine that, from a ski hill. And it's a beautiful piece, but it already was purchased. But you got to come and see it before it goes to its home, because it's going up north.
I got to check that out, because, somebody is lucky they got it before I did, because I'm a sucker for trees and tree art and everything. So that's
you
right
have to
my
come
alley.
See it.
I got to see that. That is really cool. And we encourage you to see it. The exhibit is open right now for you. Go ahead and check it out at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. And again, we'll get into the details and a little bit more later as far as how to contact Stephanie if you're curious about more. I wanted to talk a little bit about the upcoming Call for Art as well. And this is one of my favorite segments we do talking about things. We've been doing this for a while, Stephanie. And this is one of those ones that I appreciate that you guys do.
Sure. So our next exhibit is something we've never done before, and we're really excited about it. It's called The Art of the Book. So any art, any medium that has been inspired by a published book.
Okay, it's a little different than what I expected. Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
So I'm really excited. I mean, people have all these ideas already, and they're like, well, would that work? I'm like, it's inspired by a book, so absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to see fiber arts. We're going to see ceramics. We're going to see everything, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. In the call for art, we ask for delivery of the items on July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So, folks, you have a lot of time. You can think and get your piece ready. We will ask for your title of the artwork and then the book title and the author. And then just your materials used, so your medium. And then a brief description, like how does your art piece relate to the book that you listed? So, you know, we have visions of how cool this can be with maybe a photo of the book itself. And then the artwork, and then a little description from the artist. So we're really excited, and our hope is to get it out to the schools as well, so that students can work the month of June and bring things to us the first part of July, and we can have a really nice exhibit with all different pieces. And it's a good way to find out what book you should read next, because it obviously inspired a piece of artwork. So we're excited.
It's interesting. We didn't do this on purpose, but like all good things, they happen, you know, just organically.
Right.
Terry Johns and I were talking about the United Way and their great book giveaway and the importance of literacy for all young ages. And then I was just talking with Senator Teston about the importance he read to kids recently and the importance of that.
Yeah, I saw that in his newsletter.
And here we are again, where this isn't necessarily strictly about you know, getting kids to read or something like that, but the promotion of literature, the promotion of books is a part of this, you know, a fun side part of this and everything, which I think is just, you know, unique and cool. And the more we do that, the better we get people more engaged, not just with reading, but with the art world and thinking differently about what they can do with to make an art project, just even general, just you know, really thinking outside of the not just a box, the whole entire every shape. It's really cool. It's a very unique idea.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. We're going to have some workshops during the exhibit as well, where people can, you know, kind of be inspired by an art project that is related to a book. And we have some new books in our gift shop as well, written by a local family. And the illustrations are just awesome. So it's illustrated by the sister, the brother does the writing, and then the mom helps publish. It's just great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so we hope to do some projects off of that as well.
I'm very excited by this. This is very cool. And like all of the events we talk about with the Cultural Center, I do focus certainly with the job that we're doing right now, the promoting these events and getting people, the community to attend them and stuff. But I can't help the artist in me. I can't help thinking about how every one of these things, when you're attending these and whether you're giving your attention and your time or your finances to these artists, you're funding the arts in Wisconsin. You are helping something that is vitally important in this state, which helps the when you fund the arts, that helps the economy of Wisconsin, which helps your taxes and et cetera, et cetera. The domino effect that is this is not lost on me, and I'm certain not most of our audience. And I appreciate that. I appreciate being able to talk about these things because that is just fun to talk about. That's a really cool event.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, people could still be a part of this.
Absolutely. So like I said, the call for art will be out on our website next week. You can call the center if you would like an entry form as well. And the drop-off will be July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And then we'll have our opening night July 10th. And the exhibit will last through August 28th. And then we'll have folks pick up their art the first week of September.
I know my mind is immediately, I'm trying to do my job, and my mind is immediately thinking of different things that I could do, and I'm not even an artist. I can't imagine what you guys are going to come up with out there. We're looking forward to seeing it. We're speaking with Stephanie Hartman from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, and Steph, you mentioned this earlier. I did want to touch on classes a little bit. I appreciate, this is one of the major reasons why I love and have always loved supporting the Cultural Center. It's a great thing to be able to bring art to our community. It's a wonderful thing to support the arts and artists in this community where we have so many amazing, unique, and different artists. But the idea of offering classes to people and, hey, do you want to be an artist? Because I believe this with my whole heart. Every single person out there is a creative.
Yes.
Everybody's a creative.
Absolutely.
Everybody has creativity in them. Everybody has a wonderful imagination. It's just sometimes you use it in different avenues. I have a lot of friends that are in the construction business and that are mechanics. They are just as creative as me in this radio job or acting.
Absolutely.
They got to use the problem solving and all these things just as much. And these classes, I think, really help people realize that.
Yes. Yes. It's a really good start for folks, or it's kind of become their passion as well. So like I said, it is for all levels. So they pick on me again because I say, well, I can't do that, but I really could. Mm-hmm. And I have taken classes and you can do it. But yes, we offer an array of classes. We have Drawing 101 coming up on Wednesday, April 23rd, 9 to 11:30. That's with Bonnie Dine. And Bonnie's a well-known figure in the community for her art. So pretty awesome to be taught by Bonnie.
Yeah.
And we do have a couple spots left in that. Bonnie's also teaching a mosaic garden art piece for your yard, which is really beautiful. We have two sessions. Session two is already full. Session one has two openings. And again, if you use our website, all of these classes are listed. There's a link to register. If you're more comfortable, call the center, leave a message, or talk to one of the volunteers and get registered. And the garden art one is a couple days because you have to place your glass and then you actually, that one will be done that day, I believe.
Oh.
So that's a really good opportunity.
Wow, yeah.
And then we're also doing a mosaic window with Bonnie Dine. Now, this is a lot more of an intense class. You meet at least four times, and then you will pour epoxy to finish your window. They're not grouting. I think there's an option for grouting, but they've kind of gone to epoxy as well, which is a clear and really gives the window a neat shine.
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, we have examples in the Cultural Center, so if you want to stop in, our classroom is filled with windows, and that will be, like I said, a multiple session class. We have one spot left. So if you're interested, give us a call. We are also doing wait lists for all these classes so that when we have enough interest, we try to open another class.
Hmm.
Then for Mother's Day, we're doing something different. We're doing a Mommy and Me watermelon bracelet class.
Oh my gosh, is that awesome. Great work. Oh,
so grandmas, aunts, moms, bring your little with you, and you can make matching bracelets. If you want to bring two kiddos with you, that's absolutely an option. And that will be on Saturday, May 3rd in the morning. So a great start to May. And then you have your little matching bracelets
my
for
heart.
Mother's Day.
My heart, Stephanie. I can't take it. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's awesome.
And we worked really hard to keep this class reasonably priced. So it's only $30 for the pair to come and make their bracelets. And if you want to bring an additional child, there's just a small charge for the beads. So put that in your calendar. Find a little to come with you. Mm-hmm. And again, you can register online, or if you're more comfortable, give us a call. We also are doing a painting with wool with Jeannie Weymouth. If you know Jeannie, she's also a well-known artist in the community. This class just filled last night, at the opening. Two people registered, so now we're full. However, if you have an interest in this class, Jeannie makes it so fun. Give us a call, and we've already started another wait list, and we'll open another session of that one. And then our last super fun class that is scheduled right now is Funky Mosaic Outdoor Side Tables.
Oh, my God. I love the title. I love that title.
And there's pictures on our website. You have the option of either a black table, a pink table, or there's like an orange-yellow color. You will come and lay your glass. Then we have an open studio time for you to finish. Then you will grout, and then you'll come back in and clean up. This is with Cindy Orzel. If you know Cindy, you know you're going to have a good time. She's a great instructor. And that is in June. They'll meet like middle part of June is basically it, June 16th through the 20th. And again, you can register online or give us a call.
Appreciate that. I'm sorry, Stephanie, what was the name of that one again? I forgot. What was the name of that?
Funky Mosaic Outdoor Side Table.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for humoring me. Oh, that is a great title. Great classes. Great things to have available. Two real quick notes. One, really appreciate you guys going above and beyond. And even when a class is closed, taking in names to see if, hey, should we have another class and everything? That's great for the teacher, the community, for the cultural center, for everybody. I think that's really cool. Not everybody does that kind of thing. So I really note that. And that's all the more reason that even if you do think a class is full, reach out, let them know, get on that waiting list so that they know, oh, this is really popular. We should have another class, another version of this.
Absolutely. And that's how the second session of Funky Mosaic Side Table came about is we did a day session. We had a couple people asking, would you ever run that at night? So this session is at night. The one that I talked about in May. Oh, this one's during the day. I'm sorry. The other one was at night. So, you know, let us know what you're looking for. A lot of folks will say, oh, I can't come during the day. I work, but me and my friend would come at night, and we can do that as well.
And keep in mind with this, you know, any of these the classes that we told you about, everybody, some of these classes were originated by listeners, by people, community members and everything. Hey, do you think people would like a class like this? And, they send it to Stephanie and the team and see, and, you know, you work things out. So if you teach something or you're good at something or you want to share something with the community, here's a great outlet to do that.
Absolutely. Just give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. We do pay our instructors. A lot of people think our instructors are volunteer, but that's not fair. they're giving their time. So we do pay our instructors for prep time and teaching time. So reach out to us. We'd love to talk with you.
And we'll give you the information on how to do that in just a moment because we wanted to wrap up here with Stephanie and mentioning the gift shop and always encouraging people to check that out.
Absolutely. And we've really, really beefed up our gift shop for this opening and because it's spring. And it's Mother's Day and it's Father's Day. So we have some really great items. We have a lot of ceramic work. We have beautiful wind chimes that one of our artists did. We have woodworking. We have jewelry. We have candles of all kind. Don't forget that we sell local honey and honey sticks and those types of things. So it's really something to check out. The gift shop looks great right now. Heather, my coworker, has done a great job getting it set up. So if you have some time, stop in. And again, if you can't come during our business hours, let us know. We're happy to set up something for you.
Again, above and beyond, that's very cool you guys do that. And I want to always remind artists out there, if you are interested in maybe getting your items in the gift shop or something, reach out to Stephanie and see if that's something that can be worked out. I encourage you to do that, everyone. And as we just got a minute here, Stephanie, I did want to mention just a couple of other quick things. You know, we can't get together, and I don't mention Pete Revelle in Four on the Floor.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do that every time we get together. As long as they're performing over there, which they are, it's free admission, 2 to 4, and they perform every other week.
The first and third.
Thank you.
First and third Thursday of the month from 2 till 4. So they were there yesterday.
Yeah.
Making a ruckus. They're hilarious.
Yep, they're great. God, they're great.
They had a good audience yesterday, too, so that was great.
Good to hear. If you have not heard them before, and if you haven't heard Pete Revelle, one of the biggest things I encourage you to do is check that out. Every show is amazing and unique and different, and Pete is one of the best I've seen at what he does. He's very good. There's the Writer's Share program every second Wednesday of the month as well. It's a free admission event from 1 to 3, again, every second Wednesday, right, to remind all of our writers out there, my fellow writers out there of that one. And of course, Artist Coffee. where you can enjoy coffee, great people, and good conversation. When is that one again, Steph?
That is the last Thursday of the month, mm-hmm. so that'll be next week.
Yeah.
And we start at 9 o'clock, go till about 10:30 or 11. We had record-breaking attendance last month. We had 23 Ooh-hoo. People.
Right on.
So
right.
we're like, oh my gosh, we got to get more chairs. But it's great. And each artist, you don't have to speak. I mean, we're not going to put you on the spot, but mm-hmm. it is nice to meet the artist, find out what they do. Sometimes they bring a piece of work that they're working on. They might be asking advice, you know, what mm-hmm. do you think of these colors? Should I add more here or there? But it's really a neat gathering to watch artists use each other as experts.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
It's one of my favorite things to do is talking with artists, and not just artists that are also writers or actors or anything like that. I love talking to people in different fields.
Yes.
I find it not only inspirational, but the ideas that just come up when you're talking to people in different, that work on different art pieces or something, the creativity that can give you and lead into. And it's... there's not everybody that always can relate to what you're feeling or going through. Like just as an example, you know, if you got writer's block,
right.
You talk to just about anybody about that, and they may not be able to relate. But you talk to another artist, whether they're a writer or not, chances are they get what you're going through. They can understand it, and sometimes there's just some comfort and some something good about that. They can help you have some grace with you and your art and the process, along with all the, again, creative ideas and different things that can come from those sessions.
Yeah, absolutely, and. We actually, when they get together, they're kind of funny because they feed off each other a little mm-hmm. bit. And a couple months ago, an artist said, I don't have anything to share. You know, I'm just kind of stuck, not inspired, you know, blah, blah, blah. And sat through the meeting and she's like, oh, I feel more inspired. And when she came back the next month, she had a piece she had been working on.
Fantastic.
So that was really great.
It's good to hear. Stephanie, if people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Okay, the website is a great resource. We try to keep it as up-to-date as possible. Things change by the minute. but that is culturalcenterarts.com. So you can find all your information there. You can register for classes. If nothing else, just find our phone number on that site if you don't remember it from me reciting it in a little bit. And give us a call. And the phone number is 715-421-4598. If we're not there, just leave a message. I return all the messages. You can also email us if you would like to do that. And that is cwcc@culturalcenterarts.com.
And encourage you to follow them on social media, everybody, and share the posts that they make on your page. You just never know who might see it. Otherwise, we'll talk again real soon, Stephanie. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Big thank you to Pam Hilke and the amazing work she does on this show week in and week out. We appreciate her, all of our guests, and all of you for listening. We'll be back with more coming up right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave?
That prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care?
Prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Ann from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
CBS News Brief. Senator Chris Van Hollen has returned to the U.S. from El Salvador, where he met with a man mistakenly deported there.
What this is about is adhering to the Constitution, to the right of due process. And that's why we say, bring Kilmer home so he can be afforded his rights under the Constitution.
A federal judge has blocked the administration from shuttering the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. CBS's Jake Rosen.
On Thursday, administration officials moved to fire roughly 1,500 people, leaving the department with just about 200 employees through a reduction in force that would downsize the bureau and effectually shutter it.
We learn more today about the suspect in yesterday's shooting at Florida State University.
At this point, there does not appear to be any connection at all between the shooter and any of the victims.
Two people were killed. Six others were hospitalized, including the suspect. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.